Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Now let's get back to the show.
Time now for Past Life Explorers with Nikki Hughes. Nikki, welcome back.
Thank you, Nicole, and welcome, explorers, and welcome to fall. I don't know about you, but it fell pretty hard here where I live, so we're right in the thick of it. So today on our fall show, we have a super interesting and fascinating show ahead for you, and we have a special guest with us. We have Emma. Now, Emma entered our lucky lottery contest and had her name chosen, and she got to have a full past life regression with me. And so today we're going to dive into that experience and have a chat with Emma about how that went for her and what's happened in her life since that wonderful experience that she had. So welcome, Emma. I'm so happy to have you join us.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for the opportunity and having me.
Yeah, wonderful. So Emma, you and I did some work together off the air earlier in the month. Today we're going to go through the very relevant past life experience. We're going to listen to some clips. I have three clips for us, and we're going to find out what's happened in Emma's life since her session and talk a little bit about some of those changes. So before we start, Emma, have you ever done anything like this? Have you done a past life regression, gone into hypnosis? Have you done this kind of work before?
I haven't done any past life regression in the hypnotherapy. I've done Reiki and meditation, but nothing diving into the subconscious like that.
Yeah, okay. Great. So when we chatted about your goals before the session, you said you had a few things you wanted help with. And I love that when clients give me lots to choose from, because you're actually giving your unconscious mind lots to choose from, and it makes for a really rich session. Because the unconscious mind is always trying to solve sort of the biggest and most difficult challenges, and sometimes you get all kinds of things looked at the same time. So you had lots on your list. You had trust, fear of men, anger, anxiety, and some really specific fears, heights, and open water. You had lots to choose from. And just a bit of a spoiler alert, we didn't actually get to the specific fears, but we did cover a lot of the others. So is there anything else, Emma, that you would like to add about the issues that you wanted sorted out through this experience?
No, I'd say it covered like pretty well the vast majority of what I've worked on.
Okay, wonderful. So one of the things that I talk to my clients about who want to do a past life regression is that really it is the unconscious mind that's in control of where we go. And so sometimes we go to the current life that needs to be unblocked before we can go further back. So I always like to set that expectation, because the unconscious mind is what decides where to go to bring you the greatest freedom and the highest healing. So we really have to be flexible in our sessions and try to uncover what may be blocking being able to step back further into the past. And I bring this up because this is what happened with Emma. So we had a 2.5-hour session, and at a high level, here's what we covered. We went to three lifetimes. One of them was the current life, dealing with a current life issue. And then we went back into two past lifetimes where Emma was a female in both. And there was a strong theme across both of the past lifetimes, which we're going to talk about, and some big blocks were removed, right? And that's what we're here for, is to get rid of those things so that you can step into a better life. And so today we're going to walk through the session, play some clips. There's three of them. And we're going to have Emma talk about what it was like for her to experience all of these events. And it became really clear with the final lifetime where some of the big fear came from and how it all interacted with the other pieces. So this is one of the things that I love about the work that I do, is the unconscious mind is kind of laying out a puzzle. And in the end, I can put them all together and see how all these things link and work on removal and moving into the good stuff. So our first stop was a current life. But before we go there, Emma went into hypnosis quite easily, and she'd never been hypnotized before. She went nice and deep, and she is a creative person and does meditation. She's a visual processor. She had a great headset. So the clips you're going to hear are really nice and clear. I've edited, again, the pauses. I've edited some parts of the sessions out because we don't have 2 hours on the show. And so in consideration of time, I have pulled out a lot of the pauses that happen with the unconscious mind as it's processing. It can be quite a lot of space in that. So this may sound a little bit conversational, but trust me, she was deep in hypnosis. So before we dive in, Emma, I know you were really excited to be able to do this with me. What was it like going into hypnosis, and were you surprised that it went so easily?
I was kind of surprised how easily I did get into it, but I found it really fun and interesting just giving the subconscious a chance to help me and show me what I need to heal. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, great. And so just being able to let go, right? I know some people struggle with letting go, but you seem to be able to do it quite easily. So that was great and made for a really good session. Now, initially, when we started our journey, Emma went to a living room from the set of a children's show. And I can tell you, there's no limit to where my clients take me and take themselves. So I've never been to the set of a children's show before, but it was cozy and safe and quiet. And from there, I took you down and into your first stop, which we thought would be a first half life. It turns out it was somewhere in your present life. So I'm just going to walk you through those details. I don't have a clip of the current life. So I'm just going to walk you through that. So when you landed in this lifetime or this place, Emma, you were barefoot and you were wearing a t-shirt and a diaper. So that was my first clue that we might be in a current life. So you were about 18 months old. And when I asked what was happening, you said you were looking out the window and watching your dad drive away. And that brought up this big feeling of abandonment in Emma, which was a massive heart block. So we need to go in and do that work before we can step back further in time, because that heart block is blocking access. So the heart block itself was acting as a protection. It was a protector. And especially what I find with children, blocks are most often related to protection and safety, especially with young children. So we worked through the block, and this block was undermining her ability to love, her self-connection, and self-love. And so removing the block allowed her to be open to confidence, self-acceptance, and confidence in her own capabilities. And we did a bit of inner child work with that young child, and with that reassurance, Emma was able to create new inner resources of creativity, confidence, strength, self-love, trust, and being heart-centered. How's that for a first stop, hey? So Emma, what was it like for you to land in this little young you and to finally understand abandonment and how it had been holding you back and the ways it was blocking you?
It was really interesting to connect to, especially going into this life now. I don't know, it definitely just really put pieces together of the work that I'm doing on my own. And yeah, it helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. And how did it feel to actually remove that block? What did that feel like in your body? Do you recall?
Yeah, it was really relieving. It felt very much, yeah, uplifting, like a weight off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And bringing in all those nice new resources, being able to fill it up with something positive, that's always a good feeling too, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So next, Emma, you went to a past life where you were a young woman. And just to set this up before we get to the clip, because we're not going to start from the very beginning of the clip, it would just be far too long. So you landed in the body of a woman in her early 30s. And I had you describe where you landed, and you described this apartment. And oh my goodness, it was down to the details. It was like two steps down into the living room. It's an open concept design. You know, you noticed some colors in there. It was quite fascinating to see how connected you were to the space that you were in. Now, in the body, though, you felt superficial and very lonely. You had a small job, but you'd inherited wealth. So you had lots of money around you. So here was the challenge. You had lots of stuff, but no real relationships. You weren't married. You had no boyfriend. Even the family relationships were distant. You had a brother you didn't see and a dad who worked all the time. He just wasn't present, right? So there's a bit of a theme there, the dad not being around. You felt that your mom had passed away. You said that there was zero connection with the feeling of a mom. And now you had lots of inherited money. And you said it felt like everything that you were doing was fake. You even had two friends, but you called them fake friends. They weren't good friends, and they were probably just with you there for the money because you spent a lot of your time buying things for them and paying for everything. And so the loneliness was the issue. You were so lonely that you wouldn't stand up for yourself with your friends, with your family, and you were willing to compromise yourself and just be into the money and that superficial level. You were materialistic, and your brother wasn't. So that's why you didn't see each other. He didn't like the way you were living, and he didn't like how you were so connected to the money. So we're going to play a clip. We're going to come into a clip at your birthday. You wanted to plan a big something for your birthday, but again, it felt really superficial. So the next clip that we're going to play, it takes you through the major parts of this lifetime. At the experience where you're coming in right at the birthday. So I'm just going to ask the producers to cue up clip one, please. Okay, so what's happening with your birthday? What's happening on your birthday?
Feels like I want to plan things big. I feel like I have a very big fake life on, like, portraying, and that, so, like, I feel lonely for my birthday coming up.
So let's move forward to the birthday and see what happens. So let's just move ahead and take me through what happens on your birthday.
There's two girls there, but they seem like they are there superficially and
so
not...
They're your friends, but they're not... good friends?
Yeah, I'm buying them things.
So you are buying them things on your birthday?
Yeah, like we all got something matching, or like we, like I got myself something, but I also am buying them things. I feel like I really know that it's superficial, but I'm like too lonely to stand up for myself.
And so on your birthday, do you see your family?
No.
What's happened to your family?
Seems like the dad's working a lot, or my dad worked a lot. Mom's removed or deceased. No connection there.
And the brother?
We don't get on. I feel like he's not superficial and materialistic. He's not into my lifestyle.
Okay, so let's move ahead and see what happens in the life of this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's 35. She knows that she is being superficial and doesn't have much of a way of, in terms of connections to people. What does she end up doing? So let's move ahead to the next significant event.
Late 40s, early 50s. I feel like I'm like finding myself. Like I wanted an eat, pray, love moment and it happened kind of thing.
And what was that moment?
I went to go travel with someone and they didn't go. And it ended up working out pretty well.
So you went to travel. Where were you going to travel?
Somewhere in Europe. Spain?
Spain?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the person that was supposed to go with you didn't go.
Yeah.
So you traveled alone.
Yeah.
So what happened on that trip?
In the beginning, I was really broken and upset. And then I met some locals and they took me into their lifestyle and like showed me their ways. I think it was like a really good culture shock.
And so what did that change in you?
Like proving that you don't need material to be happy. They seemed like they were, like it was a poor couple with a small kid. And they they were just so happy. And yeah, it was really eye-opening.
And so what happened next?
I was staying with them for a bit. And in the beginning, I was weirded out by their ways, but it really intrigued me. And then the more I stayed, the more I didn't want to leave. Going back to the apartment was not what I wanted to do.
But you did do that, right? Is that correct?
I eventually go back. I think I stay for quite a while.
So let's move forward.
I do go back home, but I go to sell my place. I go to change.
And so you go back home to change, and you put your apartment up for sale.
Yeah.
So then what happens? What do you do with yourself?
I'm seeing like a small, older house that I buy in like the suburbs.
And what are you doing out in the suburbs?
Trying to like work on myself, like trying to get out of old habits and trying to like almost recreate what happened in Spain, like the feeling with that family.
So take me through how that works.
Like I feel like I'm not just buying things to buy things. And like I'm not like superficially, like I feel like my clothes have changed. Like I'm in called just like, yeah, your regular clothes, just like jeans and t-shirt. Like I feel like I really grounded myself, or like I'm grounding myself.
So let's look at relationships and how mm-hmm. relationships may have changed moving to the suburbs
mm-hmm.
in this big shift that happened in Spain. So tell me about the relationships that you're in.
Yeah, I feel like my brother's talking to me. Still no connection with my mom. My dad still feels like he works a lot. Maybe like a lawyer or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still not
present.
No. I think he's alive, but he's not there. I got a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm seeing someone, I'm talking, and like feel like I don't have that superficial relationship feel. Okay. Like healthy.
So let's move to the next significant thing. Where do you find mm-hmm. yourself?
I guess it's my husband standing by me. We're holding our kid.
So you had a kid later in life, in your 40s?
Mm-hmm. Like it's like we feel youthful.
So let's go to the last day in this life. Let's go to the last day in this life, all the way along. Where do you find yourself on your last day?
Really at peace, like laying down.
You're laying down where? In your home, in a hospital? Whereabouts do you find yourself?
I think I'm in like a hospital or a care home. Yeah, I'm in like the hospital bed.
How old are you on this last day?
The number's 84 popped up.
And who's with you?
Just the nurses. But I feel really content with it.
Mhm.
Yeah.
And is your son around and your husband around, or what's happening with that?
And my husband's gone. Okay. And my son might be gone. Yeah, he's not there.
So when you say gone, do you mean that he died before you? Or he's
I think so. Like I feel alone, but I also feel like really at peace.
Alone and at peace with being alone.
Yeah.
Is there something we need to explore around the death of your son?
No. I feel like car accident came up. Yeah, I don't feel any...
Okay, so it's all okay.
Any sad, yeah.
And so lifting off the body, you're feeling at peace and content.
Okay. Yeah.
So allowing yourself to lift now. Right, so that's an interesting clip of that lifetime as the 30-year-old woman and how she moved through the life. Let's do a real quick recap here. So we went into Emma to the life-changing event, and it was this trip. It was this wonderful eat, pray, love moment. Don't we all want one of those? She traveled to Spain, and when she got there, she did go alone, which was unusual for her, but it worked out that way. And she had a culture shock when she got there, and she ended up staying with the locals. A poor couple with kids, which was really something she wasn't used to. And the realization from that is that you don't need stuff to be happy. You don't need the material things. This couple was really happy. And the more she stayed, the more she didn't want to leave. So she did go, and she looked around and decided to sell her apartment, move to the suburbs into a small older house, trying to recreate the feeling that you had in Spain of being, I guess, content and at peace with not needing all that materiality. And so from that moment, you were able to make some really big changes in that life. And because of that, your brother came back into your life. You felt grounded. Your dad was still present, but not always there. I mean, he was still very disconnected kind of dad. But you had a dog and you were in a relationship and feeling really healthy. And so when we moved you forward, you had a husband and a child. You had a son. And the next big event, I didn't put this in the clip, was the son's graduation and then the son buying a home. So I just passed that over. And then we went to the last day of the lifetime at age 84. And you were in the hospital, totally at peace with the aloneness. The loneliness now was okay. So you had, in that lifetime, you'd overcome that feeling of alone being a bad thing. You had no family there. Your son died before you, which you were very at peace with. And you'd made your peace with being alone, peaceful and content. I mean, what a wonderful way to leave a lifetime. And so, Emma, what was it like experiencing that life for you, even just hearing it now, because you haven't actually heard the clips? Did it feel like it was connected to who you are now?
Yeah, I really, the strongest message that came from it was, yeah, definitely being at peace with being alone. And that, like, healing just doesn't come from materialistic objects. And I definitely find that it correlates with things that I've had to really learn in this lifetime, and just knowing that, like, turning inwards is the best way to find your happiness.
Yeah, so true, so true. And so we went on to do the purpose of the lifetime, and your purpose was to create love and feel love for everything. And at the beginning of that life, you felt lonely and hostile even. There was some anger in there, and yet you learned to love. And when you made that switch, everything fell into place for you. And although in that life you had some bad moments and it may feel bad in the moment, you discovered that you have to trust the process for a better outcome. That was one of your really big learnings, trust the process for a better outcome. And then we chatted about how that life related to your current life, and it came up in a number of ways. The first was with regards to anxiety. So when you are not trusting the process, that's when that anxiety comes up. So the anxiety is a bit of a reminder to trust. So you get too caught up in the outcome and that anxiety comes up. So the lack of trust was also creating anger towards family, specifically the feeling of being ignored by the male figure. And if you look at both of those instances or stops that we had in the session, an abandonment by a father and then a disconnected father in that second lifetime. So this is one of the themes, so take note of that. And then experiencing that past life, it helps you to understand the anger and be able to step back and not be so consumed to the point of exhaustion. So exhaustion comes up a couple of times too. And the learning, the big learning, of course, from that life, which you just reiterated, Emma, was learning to look inwards. And now the next step is to do that for self-love. So that abandonment feeling, that anxious abandonment feeling comes up when Emma fixates on the outside situation and the outcome, so looking outward. And so you learned that you need to look inwards, right? And
yes.
So, yeah, great. And one of the biggest learnings that came from that conversation we had for you was that life, from that life, was to not fixate on the outcome, let go of expectations, and let what is coming just come. And so, Emma, can you comment on that and the learning that you had? Is there anything else about that learning that's important or that may have come up for you after?
Yeah, it's just, it really, I guess, really implanted in me that, yeah, really look inward and not get so fixated on the little tiny details of what's happening next. Like, pretty well just said it perfectly. Yeah.
Let go of expectations and let things flow.
Yeah.
So the nice word for you going forward is flow. Just flow with it, right? Okay.
Exactly.
So thanks, Emma. So we're going to jump back into our second clip now, where Emma makes her third stop and receive some really important messages and insight. And this goes through the whole second lifetime that she landed in as a female. It's a very important life for you, Emma, and your learning. So I'm just going to ask the producers to cue up clip two, please. Do you find yourself inside or outside?
Inside.
And we'll look down at your feet and notice what you're wearing on your feet.
Nothing.
Take a look at your legs and your torso and just notice the clothing that you have on.
Yeah, I have like shorts on.
And do you have a shirt on?
Yeah, like a baseball tee or a, like a long sleeve.
And so are you a male in this body or a female in this body?
No, I'm a female.
And how old are you?
I think teens, early 20s. I think closer to teens, 18.
Okay, and I'm just going to ask, are you in your current body or are you in a past life body? You're in a different body.
Yeah,
you're in a different body. Okay, this 18-year-old female inside, what's around you inside?
Dirty. It's like there's couches, but it's, it's like a motel, but it's like definitely not cleaned.
And what are you doing there? What are you doing in that dirty motel room?
I feel trapped. Yeah, I feel trapped.
You're trapped there?
Yeah.
And what are you trapped by?
A man.
And is he there with you in the motel room?
Yeah, he's angry.
And why is he angry?
I think he's a drug user, but he's abusive.
And how old is he?
30, early 30s.
And so you're in this motel room, kind of trapped. Are you in a relationship with this man? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens? You're in this hotel room. He's angry.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like yelling. He's definitely not. Yeah, he's just mad. And I'm like curled up on the couch or on a chair, big chair, so I can't. So with my back and my front's covered, and like sideways on the chair. Yeah.
Right, in protection mode.
Yeah.
How did you get here?
I feel like I met him, and the whole he's older kind of thing, and I was in high school, but I didn't like school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd leave and hang out with him, and we built a relationship. Possessiveness.
Yeah, and do you have a family? Do you have a mom and a dad?
I do. I feel like they're both drug users, though. I feel like I was up for adoption or raised by my grandparents.
And so your grandparents tried to keep you in school, did they?
Yeah, I don't know if they're my grand, or maybe I look at them as grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Just an older couple.
That's raising you.
Yeah. But yeah, I could feel a lot of compassion and empathy from the grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa is more sympathetic, but a bit harder. But yeah, they definitely wanted me in school to graduate and go to college.
And so you were in this room.
Yeah.
Feeling trapped. So let's just go through what happens. What do you do in that moment, you're curled up on a chair. Let's just move it forward and see what happens. He's mad. He's yelling.
Yeah. Just get low and be quiet. Like, be,
mm-hmm.
just stay unseen or like as small as possible. Yeah, I feel like sometimes just nothing triggers him. Like, he's really unpredictable.
So he's yelling at you. And so does it end? What happens when he's yelling at you? He yells, and what happens?
I feel like he leaves the room and then comes back and leaves the room and comes back. And I think,
And what do you do?
I feel frozen. Yeah, I feel really stuck. Like, I know I should leave, but I don't.
And so you're feeling frozen. You're feeling frozen in the body?
Yeah.
Where do you feel that freezing in the body? Where do you feel it?
Throat chakra. Like, I can't talk. Like, I feel physically like I can't really move, but that feels more of like a survival instinct, but I feel like I can't speak. I have no voice.
All right. So what happens in the life of this young girl? So let's just move it forward. She's completely frozen, unable to speak,
mm-hmm.
unable to move, knowing she doesn't want to be there. What does she do?
Stays. I feel like I stay for a long time. I feel like I die in this. Like, I don't get out of the relationship.
So So you die in this relationship. And
yeah.
So let's take you forward then to the last day in that life.
He did it.
So what happens? So he's escalated into physical abuse. Not that I want you to go through that. We don't want you to go through that. But on the last day of your life, how old are you?
I don't think I make it into my 40s. I think I'm like late 30s.
So I'd like you to just go to the moment just before you leave the body. You don't have to re-experience it
because
you've already experienced it, but it's important to understand what you were thinking and feeling at the moment when the end came.
I feel like I'm in the hospital. I feel like he beat me really, really bad, and then I went into the hospital, and that's where I died.
Okay, so you're in the hospital.
And there's a lot of nurses. I feel like I went in critical condition.
Just before you leave the body, what are you thinking about your life?
I regret not leaving. Yeah, just a lot of regret and sadness that I put myself through that.
And what are you thinking about men?
Like anger, but more disappointment towards like thinking about my dad not being there. And then I feel shame from that grandpa figure. And then, yeah, like I feel like, I feel happy to go because I feel like I wouldn't have left it.
Right.
I don't know. It's almost like a feeling of not nothing is arising, but like almost letting go.
Yeah, it was a difficult life.
Yeah.
It was a very difficult life. And so let's lift off the body now. Let that life go and maybe coming into this wonderful space of complete freedom.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm looking down and feel...
Yeah, looking down and saying goodbye to that body and that lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I'd like you to... And so all of that energy comes with you. Frozen feeling, that throat block. Is that throat block the fear?
Yeah, like I feel like it was a... there was nothing I could say that wouldn't trigger. So it was just like, just don't speak.
So that was the trapped feeling?
Yeah.
Okay, and so the trapped feeling in the throat, the fear that you felt from him, especially on your last day or the events leading up to the last day, the fear of him, where did you feel that in your body? Being so afraid of him?
Yeah, I'd say heart. But I felt it like, it's the heart. Like I feel like shoulders, but that's like a protection thing.
Yeah, well, it could be linked too, so heart and shoulders. And so the feeling of, for that frozen feeling in the body, did that come with you? Do you feel...
A little bit,
you have that frozenness in your body?
It feels like in my throat.
It's all part of the throat.
Yeah, like talking.
Okay, so that was a very difficult life, and I can understand now why the unconscious mind of Emma waited till the third part, the third stop to be able to take you to that place. Now, what was interesting that I didn't put in the clip, before we even got to the place where you were going to go into that life, we go to the door, you could feel the fear coming through the door, and so we had to actually stop and make sure that it was okay to continue to go into that lifetime with all of that fear coming all the way through the door. So this was a really big, big life here. And Emma landed into the body with, you know, not much on, bare feet, shorts, baseball hat, 18 years old in a rundown motel room, totally trapped by a man who was older than she was, an angry, drug-using, abusive man. And they were in some kind of relationship, romantic, I wouldn't say romantic, but they were in a romantic relationship. It was abusive. So he was yelling at her. She's curled on a chair. You met him because you didn't want to go to school. And so this was a way to get out of going to school. You had no parents. So again, we have that theme of no parents present to assist. They were drug users, and you were raised by what we thought was a foster couple. A foster couple, a grandma and grandpa-like person, very good to you, compassion and empathy from the grandma and a little bit of sympathy from the grandpa. So the issue in this life was, of course, the unpredictable man not leaving and being abused. So he leaves, comes back, and she never knows when that's going to happen. And so that creates this block, this frozen feeling in her body, like she is absolutely has to hold herself small and physically can't move and let alone speak, right? And so she stays in the abusive relationship for her whole life. She actually dies in this relationship. And the last day of her life, in her late 30s, the abusive partner is the one who killed her. He beat her so badly, she died in the hospital sometime later. And that brought up, when she died, the regret at not leaving and that immense sadness and shame, disappointment and anger towards men, having no good role model, not having a father, although she did appreciate the few years of the grandpa figure in her life. And when she leaves the body, Emma is very happy to go. And, you know, it's a very hard life. So leaving is a gigantic relief. And so before we come to the learning, Emma, what was it like for you to experience that kind of lifetime? I know it was really difficult to even step through the door because you could feel that immense fear coming at you, this thing that's been holding you back in your current life too. So what was that like for you to experience this kind of lifetime that was so bleak?
It was quite intense. It was, I found it quite interesting as well in just in the aspect of how it relates to everything I'm going through right now, but also Yeah, it was quite interesting to be in that body and in that time.
Mm-hmm. And being sort of trapped, not being able to move, and having all of those feelings at the end that you end up taking with you, unfortunately, right? All that disappointment and all that anger and fear comes with you.
Yeah.
So that must have been tough. Hard one to go through.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump into our final clip, clip three, where Emma receives and learns some really insightful learning from this life. And it's quite short. It's less than 2 minutes long. So it's really short, just the learning from this life. And then we'll come back. So if we could just cue up clip three, that would be great. And so how has experiencing that past life, how does that relate to your current life?
I definitely feel like around masculine energy, I quiet down a lot. I get really observant because I'm trying to read them. I get really protected. I get really in a shell. I get very weary.
That whole drain thing, right?
Yeah. The fear, the unpredictable, always feeling like I'll say something wrong and have someone snap.
So how will that be different for you now?
Just speak my truth and know that the right people will come in and that I don't need to hold on to people that really don't serve the highest good, like to not give a need. Yeah, the need to be around it for some reason.
So let's bring that past life woman forward, the one who was abused and beaten to death in the end of her life. Let's bring her forward now. Is there any wisdom or guidance that, from her vantage point, she would like to give you?
To trust how people present themselves and to not make up, like, what they could be, not falling for the potential.
Okay.
Yeah, to take it for face value. Yeah, and I do that in my current life. As I give people excuses. Making up things in my head, yeah. So definitely working on taking everything for face value.
Great. And so in that learning, you said that the impact in your current life was fear, and that what you've noticed in your current life is that when you get around men, you quiet right down and you put yourself in a little bit of a shell. And doing that, you get absolutely very weary and drained going into protection mode. And the fear that you feel is about the unpredictability and always feeling like you're going to say the wrong thing. So we're back to the throat and not being able to speak. So in that life, the wrong thing had some huge consequences. And the learning that you take away is to speak your truth. And when you do that, knowing that the right people will show up, you will pull the right people to you when you're able to speak your truth. You no longer feel that you need to hold on to people just because again, maybe that's the loneliness. So the wisdom from that life was to trust how people present themselves, which sounds kind of counterintuitive because we normally are told not to take people at face value, but to really dig deeper. But you did say that you're always looking underneath and often have relationships with potential rather than who they really are presenting themselves as. So who they're showing up as isn't who you're trying to have a relationship with, and that doesn't work. So, and I imagine in that life, the relationship initially as an 18-year-old with someone who's older is about his potential and not what was right out in front for you to see, that abusive, angry, drug-using person. So, Emma, is there anything that you can add to the learning from that life around men or anything?
Yeah, it was really, that one was a really interesting life to get into. Yeah, the message I really got was really, yeah, speaking your truth, because end of the day in that situation, it killed me to not speak my truth, and I was really remorseful at the end. So it just really showed me that, like, regardless of your situation, speak your truth, because, yeah, exactly, the right people will arise out of the situation and to really follow your heart.
Yeah, and following your heart is about sort of standing on your own power, and in that life, you had absolutely no power. It was all handed away to that man that you were afraid of. So we went on from there to remove the frozen feeling and the fear from the throat and the heart. There was two really big blocks that were keeping Emma trapped. Kind of makes me understand why we needed to go do that heart block first in your current life, because there was a really much bigger one underneath, and you kind of got to peel it like the onion, like I like to say. So while the intention of the throat block was to protect you, it was literally trying to save you. You certainly needed it in that life. The issue it created when it was doing that was clouded judgment. So it created this clouded judgment, and that block prevented you from speaking up and using good judgment. You were undermining yourself with that block. So in recognizing and in understanding the learning from that block, it transformed. It was fascinating to watch that, or to hear that and watch it, because we were on the screen, right? It transformed almost immediately into a heart with no prompting. It just went right into a heart, a vibrating heart, encouraging the voice up into the throat. The frozen feeling melted, and Emma, you're now led by the heart. So replacing that clouded judgment with heart-centered judgment, having everything that you do coming through the heart space and being led by the heart space. How beautiful is that? So now we went on from there to the heart block, which was depleting you. It was completely draining you. And when you would be around men, you would feel completely drained. So this is what was going on. It was draining out your energy to keep you small. The block was actually keeping you encased with four walls right around the heart, completely trapped. Again, it was protection, trying to keep you small so that you would be able to survive, which didn't end up happening anyways, but you did for a number of years. But what it was doing is it wasn't allowing any growth at all. It was completely restricting you. And the draining kept you small and quiet, stagnant and going nowhere. You were in an incredibly small comfort zone. Probably wasn't very comfortable, but you were in a very small comfort zone with absolutely no growth. And so when we removed the block, you immediately had a sense of being able to breathe. All of a sudden you could breathe and feel like you could step outside. And in relation to men, you regained that sense of control and realized that you don't need to have someone guide or try to fulfill you. That's something that's coming from inside your own heart. You are fulfilled just stepping out of that box that you had put yourself in, even though sometimes it might feel a little bit scary. So we went on from there to do forgiveness with the man who killed her, which was very liberating for both. It was really something to witness and be a part of. He was very, very apologetic for the part he played in that life. And so the forgiveness was big. And of course, the self-forgiveness between Emma and herself. And I did ask if you recognized him from a current life person, and you said no. So there's no connection to anyone here. So that was a lot. That was a lot that we did in that, from that lifetime. So, Emma, what was it like to do all of those energetic changes and to get all of that understanding in relation to what you need in your current life?
It felt really empowering, actually. It was really, really powerful to go through, I mean, learn my lessons and clear those blocks, but also be able to sit down and talk with him and clear that out as well. Yeah, it was really liberating.
Yeah, yeah, it's forgiveness. You can't underestimate the power of forgiveness, especially from a past life, because you carry all that with you, right? So it really matters. That's great. And so just to recap the whole thing, so you went to one current lifetime and two past lifetimes that tied together abandonment, fear of men, anger, anxiety, trust, and self-love. Holy smokes, that was a lot. You got a lot out of that, a lot of changes, a lot of positive changes, and big block removals to affect that immediate change. You had three stops, and I wonder if it's the unconscious mind's way of testing you out to see if you're able, that it feels that you would be able to take on that third lifetime, which was so difficult. But yeah, you did it. So that's really, really good. And so, Emma, what was it like for you? And how has this changed your life in the days and weeks that have followed? What have you noticed? And is there anything you would like to tell our listeners about your experience?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I absolutely loved it. You were a great person to do it with.
Thank you.
But yeah, I've definitely noticed my confidence gone up. I've noticed just me being around masculine energies, it feels like not draining. And just, yeah, I definitely feel like I've stepped into my power a lot more through this process. And it's been really great.
That's good. Now, I'm going to bring something up that we talked about. You said that you had a job interview soon after the session, and it was with a man in the room. And you said that normally you would have a problem with that authority. Can you just talk about how that situation, how that interview felt different for you after having had this experience?
Yeah, like you said, I usually get more timid, especially by like a authoritative male energy, and I went in and I usually prepare myself and give myself questions and get rehearsed and have my script ready, and I walked in and I was just didn't prepare, but I was really confident and it went really well. Yeah, I was really impressed with myself at the end. It was great.
That's great. And you felt very comfortable with that man in the room, you said.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and probably felt a little bit energized after that instead of feeling drained, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I know I did.
Yeah. Okay. So is there anything else you'd like to add about your experience before we move on?
No, I think it
okay.
was great. Yeah.
Good. Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm very happy to have worked with you and to have gone through these wonderful changes with you, too. It's always my privilege to do that with people. So I just want to thank you, Emma, so much for putting your name forward, coming on the show, and sharing this personal regression experience with our listeners. I wish you much happiness, trust, and self-love as you move ahead in this life. And so now I'm going to ask that question, why would you choose me? Now, Emma was able to experience and understand so many aspects of herself and clear the path for healthy relationships with the men in her life and with herself, achieving all of that forgiveness and that really deep understanding around everything that she wanted to know about anxiety, anger, fear of men, trust, self-trust. And she got a few more things thrown in there as well, all within 2.5 hours. And it completely changed how she sees herself and steps out into the world. It's very transformative work. And so if you want to know who you are and clear what's stopping you, like Emma, you have to know who you were. Your past is what holds the keys. And I love what I do. It's the most fascinating work that you could ever do. I love what I do, and I'm passionate about helping people find the keys to help them reconnect to that inner spark, to remove the things and clear the things that are blocking them from feeling their own inner light, their brilliance, you know, through understanding and creating new resources, feeling that empowerment. And this is where all the magic happens. I've seen amazing and rapid life change from this work, and I'm so grateful to be able to help others move through time and experience the power of their past. So if you're ready to make that change, look deeper and discover something new, let something go or fill what feels missing, come and explore with me. Together, we'll travel and unlock the mysteries of you. And I think that sounds really exciting, doesn't it? Now, I also want to let you know that at the beginning of the month, beginning of September, I launched my new website. And on that website, I now have a products page where you can purchase hypnosis, past life, and mindfulness meditation recordings. So use the code LAUNCH, LAUNCH, until September 30th, and you will receive a 10% discount on anything that you purchase. Go ahead and do all this transformation from the comfort of your own home at your own time. So check it out at pastlifeexplorers.com and choose products from the menu. And if you want to book a session with me, let me know you listened into a Past Life Explorers show, and you will also save 10%. Now, here's another thing coming up. If you are interested in winning a free full past life regression session with me, like Emma did and like several others have in the past months, and you would be willing to come on the show to talk about it next month, I'd love to hear from you. This News for the Soul Past Life Explorers Lucky Lottery is running again. Yes, so send me an email to Nikki, N-I-K-I, at pastlifeexplorers.com. Do this before October 1st. I will be drawing the name on October 1st, and then we will set up a session and go through your transformational change. So for more information, check out my profile on News for the Soul or for contact info, or you can go to pastlifeexplorers.com or send me an email, just whatever it is you need to know, Nikki at pastlifeexplorers.com. So I'm excited to chart new territory with you to help you find that inner light and let it shine out in the world. We all need our light to shine. And so I hope that you have enjoyed the show. Thank you so much, Emma. And until next month, I want you to stay well and keep exploring.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.